Good afternoon. It's 46 degrees in Richland Center at 1208. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The presidential campaigns make their final push in Wisconsin. After Donald Trump rallied in the Green Bay area and Kamala Harris in Madison Wednesday, the focus is on Milwaukee. This evening, the former president returns to Pfizer form, where he accepted his party's nomination at this summer's Republican National Convention. Vice President Harris holds a rally and concert around the same time at State Fair Park in West Allis, featuring musical acts including the Isley Brothers, Glorilla, and Flo Milli. Both events start at 7. On election night, the state's biggest city could cause everyone else to wait. Civic Media's Stuart J. Wattles has more.
Milwaukee's absentee ballot results are typically reported late on election night, often after midnight. That's due to the large number of ballots and state law restrictions. The Wisconsin State Senate earlier this year blocked a bill to allow earlier absentee ballot processing. That means Milwaukee can't start to count until Election Day. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson knows people across the state and the country will be paying attention.
And so we know that there are going to be a lot of people who are watching Milwaukee. And we know, because we will require this, we always have required this in the city, that in Milwaukee we will follow the law. At the same time, we encourage every eligible voter to participate.
Early voting in Wisconsin can take place through Sunday, though not all communities go that far.
Dane County has its budget for next year. A $925 million plan has been tweaked and approved by the County Board of Supervisors. Overall, dropping revenue and increasing staff costs are starting to put a squeeze on the county, the same way they have in Madison and lots of other municipalities across Wisconsin. Of course, someone new will carry out this budget. On Tuesday, voters will decide whether Melissa Agard or Dana Pelleban should be the next Dane County executive. A Mequonago man is accused of double voting twice. Waukesha County prosecutors accused 37-year-old Jason O'Shaim of casting votes in both Wisconsin and Florida in 2018 and 2020. The report came from the Wisconsin Elections Commission during an inspection for voter fraud. The commission says O'Shaim cast absentee ballots in New Myrna Beach and then voted in the Wisconsin election both years. O'Shaim faces two counts of election fraud. The days leading up to the election next Tuesday can be a stressful time for some people. UW Health psychologist Shalay Mergain says you should focus on the things you can control. Mergain says chronic stress from the election can impact your physical health by lowering your immune system. Mergain says you should also put down the phone and take a break from social media while also getting outside and exercising. Mergain says on election night, give yourself breaks from election coverage. More than half of the members of a committee studying the future of the universities of Wisconsin system have recommended that UW-Madison be separated. The Madison campus of the system is by far the largest and most high profile, and 13 of the 18 members of the committee say separating it would help it compete on a national level. UW system officials and Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers have pushed back on the potential future for the school, saying they prefer to solve problems within the system and that the system is working fine. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance have announced nearly $500,000 in funding to expand reproductive and maternal health care coverage. According to a press release, Wisconsin is one of 14 states to receive the funding through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Expanding Access to Women's Health Grant Program. The OCI will use the funding to conduct a consumer survey, evaluate compliance with contraceptive coverage mandates, and promote access to the services. Healthcare choices have opened up. Stuart J. Wattles reports.
Healthcare choices have opened up. Today marks the start of the Affordable Care Act open enrollment period in Wisconsin. It offers the opportunity to sign up for health insurance through the federal marketplace. The enrollment window extends until January 15th.
Wisconsin Hospital Association Information Center has released its annual guide to Wisconsin hospitals for fiscal year 2023, which shows Wisconsin hospitals and health systems are continuing to experience financial pressures compounded by challenges from the previous year. The report indicates a sustained period of low margins and ongoing financial challenges. Between fiscal year 2021 and fiscal year 2023, hospitals experienced a 40.8% decrease in their operating margins, with 82 out of 167 hospitals reporting a decline. 55 hospitals, approximately 33% of all hospitals in the state, are now operating at a loss. Health systems also reported a 117.8% decrease in operating margins, reaching negative 0.8% in fiscal year 2023. Safety Net hospitals, which serve populations with higher Medicaid coverage, are also reporting losses. In fiscal year 2023, 38.1% of Wisconsin Safety Net hospitals, 32 out of 84 such facilities, reported financial losses, up from 33.7% in the previous year. Additionally, hospitals are dealing with rising costs. Supply and service costs have increased by 16.6% since fiscal year 2021, while salary and fringe expenses have increased by 11.3%, largely due to workforce shortages. Emergency department utilization has also increased, with nearly 2.4 million visits in fiscal year 2023, a 13.5% increase from 2021. The Wisconsin Electric Cooperative Association Board of Directors announced it has selected Rob Richard to serve as the statewide association's next president and CEO. Richard has been serving in a dual role as interim president and CEO and vice president of government relations and external affairs since August. He also serves as the executive director of the Federated Youth Foundation. According to WECA board chair Dan Hilberry, Rob has demonstrated his ability to be an exceptional leader with the knowledge and dedication necessary to lead our statewide as it continues to work on behalf of Wisconsin Electric Cooperatives and their members. While we knew we had an extremely strong candidate in-house as a board, recognizing the critical importance of this position, we felt it was necessary to do our due diligence and conduct a nationwide search. After reviewing more than 100 applications, many of which were also from highly qualified candidates, we decided Richard was the best choice. With him at the helm, we are assured a streamlined transition and a continuity of operations, which is important as we work to ensure all electric cooperative members have access to safe, reliable, and affordable electricity. Richard grew up in southwestern Wisconsin and earned a degree from UW-Platteville. His experience includes time as a legislative staffer working in the office of former WECA president and CEO Steve Fries, when Fries served as representative in the Wisconsin State Assembly, as well as the offices of Representative Mark Gottlieb and Senator Scott Fitzgerald. He also worked in government affairs at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and at Circus World Museum. He joined WECA in January of 2019. He lives in Sauk City. Rob Richard succeeds Steve Fries, who died August 28th following a battle with cancer. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Agricultural Marketing Service announced it has partnered with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to award $3.1 million for 41 projects through the Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure Program to strengthen local and regional food systems. Through this program, DATCAP will fund 41 projects with equipment grants to support middle-of-the-supply-chain infrastructure. Additional projects are still being reviewed and will be announced soon. Among the funded projects is the Driftless Berry Grower Group, under the leadership of Good Thunder Farm in Richland Center. It will purchase 12 pieces of equipment for storage, juicing, freeze-drying, and distilling elderberries, aronia berries, and currants. This group of 12 small beginning berry farmers will build middle of the supply chain infrastructure for processing these crops of growing importance and popularity in Wisconsin, strengthening rural economies. Wisconsin property taxpayers awarded Senator Joan Ballweg with a Champion of the Taxpayer Award while visiting WPT member Terrytown Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling in Baraboo. The Champion of the Taxpayer Award is given to state legislators that work to correct and improve our tax climate and the investment of those dollars to benefit Wisconsin and all our fellow citizens. A Minnesota man is convicted in a body dumping case in western Wisconsin. Following a three-day trial in Dunn County jury on Wednesday found 56-year-old Darren Osborne of St. Paul guilty on four counts. The bodies of four people were found inside an SUV in a farm field in September 2021. All four had been shot to death. Osborne's son, Antoine Suggs, is serving a Minnesota state prison sentence of 101 years for the murders. Prosecutors said Suggs killed the victim in St. Paul, then asked his father to help transport the bodies to Wisconsin. Osborne, who acted as his own attorney, faces up to 50 years in prison at sentencing December 13th. The mother of Elijah Vu has pleaded not guilty to charges in the three-year-old boy's death. 31-year-old Katrina Bauer pleaded not guilty this week to felony charges of chronic neglect of a child resulting in death and neglecting a child under age six. Bauer's next court date is December 20th. She is being held at the Manitowoc County Jail on a $400,000 cash bond. Her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, is also charged with Elijah's death. He's being held on a $500,000 bond and has a court date on Monday. Elijah went missing in February in Two Rivers, and his remains were found there on September 7th. A Madison woman working as a live-in babysitter faces charges in a child's death. 18-year-old Maleta Alfaro Rizzo faces a charge of child neglect ending in death. Police say Rizzo was working for a Madison couple when she left an 8-month-old child alone in a bathtub for 30 minutes Tuesday. The child was found unresponsive by paramedics. Rizzo is being held on $25,000 bond. 36-year-old Larry Williamson will serve 12 years in federal prison. Williamson helped deliver the most illegal drugs ever seized by law enforcement in southern Wisconsin. Williamson and his attorney claimed a series of unsuccessful business ventures led him to work with another man and transfer more than 65 pounds of fentanyl and meth from Arizona to Middleton via plane earlier this year. He pleaded guilty in June to possessing a large quantity of meth with intent to deliver and has faced a minimum sentence of 10 years in prison. Life insurance is an important aspect of financial planning. However, finding a policy that fits your budget and financial goals can be a real challenge with so many options available. In fact, a 2022 study revealed that people who don't feel knowledgeable about life insurance are less likely to have coverage. The Better Business Bureau recommends the following tips to help you decide if you need life insurance, what kind of insurance is best for you, and how to purchase a policy. Determine if you need life insurance coverage. Life insurance is practical for many, if not most, but there are situations where you might not need it. You should definitely consider purchasing a policy if you want your funeral and burial expenses to be paid without eating into your assets. Loved ones depend on you financially and would need significant financial support if you passed away. Your family would be left with a large debt in the event of your death. You want to pay for a dependent's childcare, tuition, or retirement expenses, or if you wish to leave a charitable legacy behind for a cause close to your heart. If none of these situations apply to you, you may not need life insurance. Think about how much life insurance you need. Consider the financial needs of your beneficiaries to determine how much insurance you should buy. Get to know the different types of life insurance. Term life policies generally have lower premiums than permanent policies, as they only cover a specific term of your life. They typically last between 1 and 30 years. The longer the term, the higher your premium will be. Once the term ends, you stop paying and no longer have coverage. Generally, no cash value is given back to the insured when the term is complete. That said, some life insurance companies may allow you to extend the term of your policy or convert it to a permanent policy, and in a few cases, they may offer a return of premium. A term life policy is a good choice for someone on a tight budget or who only wants life insurance for a specific time. Worth noting, too, is that if you have a group life insurance plan from your employer, it's likely a term policy that ends when you leave the company. If you are looking for coverage that will span several decades until your death, you'll want a permanent life insurance policy, sometimes called a whole or universal policy. Permanent policies cost more, but they have extra benefits, such as receiving the policy's cash value if you terminate it early and borrowing the amount of the current cash value from the insurance company as a loan. There are a few different kinds you can choose from. Whole or ordinary life insurance is the most common kind of permanent life insurance. This kind of policy is straightforward. It offers a death benefit and works as a savings account. You agree to pay premiums for a specific death benefit, and the company agrees to pay you dividends periodically. Usually, this kind of policy includes a guaranteed interest rate and predictable premium rates over the course of the policy's life. Adjustable or universal life insurance gives the policyholder more flexibility than whole policies. Sometimes you can increase your death benefit by passing a medical exam. In addition, you can choose to pay more than your premium up to a limit, and the extra money goes into your cash account. Or you can pay less than the premium and draw from the cash account to cover the difference. These options make this kind of plan appealing to workers with fluctuating incomes. With universal life insurance, the cash value account usually earns interest based on current market rates, which can change over time. All these factors mean this kind of policy needs to be monitored regularly by the policyholder. Keeping an eye on your policy's cash value will help you avoid a lapse in coverage, especially if you pay less than the minimum premium on occasion. With variable life insurance, policyholders receive death benefits, and they can also use their cash value account to invest in stocks, bonds, and money market mutual funds. This means there is a potential for growing the value of your policy quicker, but there is quite a bit more risk involved. One example of variable life insurance is indexed universal life, or IUL, which is best for someone with a good understanding of the stock market, fees, and forecast. IUL is gaining popularity, but without at least some investment experience, it can be easy to allow coverage to lapse. Plus, market crashes could mean you must pay higher premiums to keep your policy in force. Compare life insurance companies. There are many providers to choose from, so you'll want to comparison shop. You can contact an insurance agent, a broker, or an insurance company directly to get help comparing policies and pricing, or in many cases, you can comparison shop online. Once you've narrowed down your selection, ensure the companies you are interested in are licensed and have a good business reputation. Read reviews, look up the company on BBB.org, and ask your friends and family if they have any experience with it. Take the customer service level into account along with the company's financial rating. Remember that the financial rating they've received is a projection, not a guarantee. Watch out for mail order life insurance. You may get offers to buy life insurance through the mail at attractively low prices. The pitch may say you will be approved regardless of age and health. Be careful. Never purchase such a policy until you have read and understood every word, not just the advertising. Also, check with state insurance authorities to find out if the company is licensed to sell insurance in your state. Daylight saving time ends Sunday at 2 a.m. Clocks will fall back an hour to standard time. As we fall back this Sunday with the end of daylight saving time, Ready Wisconsin encourages people to take advantage of the time change to create a safer home for themselves and loved ones. Carbon monoxide alarms are important for keeping your family safe from this harmful gas if it leaks from furnaces and other appliances. They help alert you to danger so you leave your home safely. In 2023, there were 341 emergency department visits and 35 deaths due to unintentional carbon monoxide poisoning. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, carbon monoxide alarms should be installed in a central location outside each separate sleeping area and on every level of your home. Batteries in these alarms should be replaced at least once a year. The carbon monoxide alarm should be replaced around every 5 to 7 years based on the manufacturer's instructions. Smoke alarms are also a critical early warning tool that can help alert you to a fire in your home. According to the National Fire Protection Association, 3 out of every 5 home fire deaths occur when smoke detectors were either not present or were not working properly. Smoke alarms should be tested monthly, and the batteries should be replaced at least once a year. The device itself should be replaced every 10 years. If you have an emergency kit at home, this weekend is also a great time to check for expired products or items that may have been borrowed for other purposes and need to be replaced. Pay attention to the expiration dates of batteries, first aid supplies, and food. It's almost time to turn back those clocks for daylight saving time. Meteorologist Brittany Merlo explains how your children, pets, and health may struggle with the change.
On Sunday, we get an extra hour of sleep when the clocks fall back an hour at 2 a.m., resulting in earlier sunrises and earlier sunsets. People with seasonal affective disorder suffer with the shorter days and less sunlight of fall and winter. While this change gives us an extra hour of sleep, the time difference can still cause confusion and disruptions to the schedules for kids and pets. The Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine says the shift in time change has been associated with increased heart attacks, strokes, abnormal heart rhythms, sleep disruption, mood disturbances, and even suicide. Experts recommend to begin to alter your bedtime now, gradually, to accommodate for the change. People tend to feel more tired with the less light. A common chemical that regulates that is called serotonin, and that comes from the sun. So it's important to increase your exposure to sunlight during the day, especially in the morning. Be sure to get plenty of rest, get exercise, be active, and make sure to eat a well-balanced diet full of fruits and veggies to regulate your mood cycle. And you can also consider a light therapy lamp. They're designed to simulate natural sunlight and help you. Experts say it's also okay to take naps if you feel fatigued, but limit the nap to 30 minutes and take it before 3 p.m. And standard time will last until March 9th, when we will again spring forward with the return of daylight saving time. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlo.
The Lone Rock 130-133 Bridge Project has announced a river navigation update. Beginning today, the North Channel will be closed to river navigation for bridge demolition operations and will remain closed through late November. The South Channel is now open, though the water is shallow through the channel opening along the South Riverbank. Please take caution. Motorized boats are not recommended. Today's winner in the Ithaca Football Boosters Calendar Raffle is Josh Cast.